వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సభప్రభా నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా శివశక్త్యాయుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం నచేదేవం దేవో నఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
Om Sri Sai Ram, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashantinam, and you with me, Team Radio Sai Sunil, welcoming you to this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday from Prashanthi Nilayam. Today is the 5th of December 2019, and let me, as always, read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. What is real worship? Bhagwan lovingly reveals the secret from the scriptures to us today, and I quote, "Develop faith in the Atma principle and love it earnestly. This is true worship. The Atma is the one and only loved one for humanity. Feel that it is more lovable than any object here or hereafter. That is the true adoration one can offer to God. You must live in the world where they are born like the lotus leaf, which, though born in water, floats upon it without being affected or wetted by it. Of course, it is good to love and adore God with a view to gain some valuable fruit either here or hereafter. But since there is no fruit or object more valuable than God or more worthwhile than God, the Vedas advise us to love God with no touch of desire in our minds. Love, since you must love for love's sake. Love God, since whatever He can give is less than He Himself. Love Him alone, with no other wish or demand." Unquote. This was taken from Satya Sai Vahini, Chapter 1. Dear listener, today in Divine Glory I have lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra by Sri Hematpant, followed by the second part of a Tryst with Divinity conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba. First, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hematpant. We are thankful to Vasanthi Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. At 11:30, Bishu will join you with a segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you, and here it is for your listening pleasure.
Kushal Chandavrahata, It is said that a dream which we get in the wee hours of the morning generally comes true in the waking state. This may be so, but regarding Baba's dreams, there is no restriction of time. To quote an instance, Baba told Kaka Sahib Dikshit one afternoon to go to Rahata and fetch Kushal Chand to Shirdi, as he had not seen him for a long time. Kaka Sahib accordingly took a tonga and went to Rahata. He met Kushal Chand and gave him Baba's message. On hearing it, Kushal Chand was surprised and said that while he was taking a noon nap after meals, Baba appeared in his dream and asked him to come to Shirdi immediately and that he was anxious to go. As he had no horse of his own nearby, he had sent his son to inform Baba. When his son was just out of the village border, Dikshit's tonga had turned up. Dikshit then said he was sent specially to bring him. Then they both went in the tonga back to Shirdi. Kushal Chand saw Baba and was very pleased. Seeing this leela of Baba, Kushal Chand was much moved. Ramlal Punjabi of Mumbai. Once a Punjabi Brahmin of Mumbai named Ramlal got a dream in which Baba appeared and asked him to come to Shirdi. Baba appeared to him as a Mahant, but he did not know his whereabouts. He thought he should go and see him, but as he did not have his address, he did not know what to do. But he who calls anybody to him also makes the necessary arrangements for the same. This happened in his case too. The same afternoon, when he was strolling in the street, he saw a picture of Baba in a shop. The features of the Mahant he saw earlier in the dream tallied exactly with those of the picture. Then, on making inquiries, he came to know that the picture was of Sai Baba of Shirdi. He went soon after this to Shirdi and stayed there till his death. In this way, Baba brought his devotees to Shirdi for darshan and satisfied their wants, material as well as spiritual. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 31. The passing away in Baba's presence of Sanyasi Vijayanand, Balaram Mankar, Noolkar, Megha, the Tiger. In this chapter, Hemat Pant describes the passing away of certain devotees and a tiger in Baba's presence. Preliminary. The last wish or thought that a man has at the hour of death decides his future course. Sri Krishna has said in Gita, "He who remembers me in his last moments, come verily to me, and he who meditates otherwise at that time goes to what he longs for." We cannot be certain that we can entertain a particular good thought at our last moment, for more often than not, we are more likely to be frightened and terrified by death. Hence, constant practice is necessary for enabling us to fix our mind on a desired good thought at any moment. All saints therefore recommend us to remember God and chant His name always, so that we may not be perplexed or perturbed when the time for departure comes. The devotees on their part surrender themselves completely to the saints, fully believing that the saints would guide and help them in their last moments. A few such cases will be noted here. Vijayanand. A Chennai sannyasi named Vijayanand started on pilgrimage to Mansarovar. En route, on hearing Baba's fame, he halted at Shirdi. There he met one Somadevji, Swami of Haridwar, and inquired from him about the Mansarovar trip. The Swami told him that the Sarovar was 500 miles from Gangotri and described to him the difficulties of the journey, plenty of snow and the change of dialect every 50 course and the suspicious nature of the local people who give a lot of trouble to pilgrims on the way. On hearing this, the sannyasi was dejected and cancelled the trip. Then, when he went to Baba and prostrated himself before him, Baba got enraged and said, "Drive out this useless sannyasi, his company is of no use." The sannyasi did not know Baba's nature. He felt discomforted, but sat there watching things that were going on. It was a morning darbar, and the masjid was overcrowded. Baba was being worshipped in various ways. Some were washing his feet, some taking the teeth or holy water and drinking it heartily, and some touching their eyes with it. Some were applying chandan and some scents to his body. And all were doing these things, forgetting the distinction of caste and creed. Though Baba got enraged with him, he was filled with affection for Baba, and he did not feel like leaving the place. Vijayanand stayed in Shirdi for 2 days when he got a letter from Chennai stating that his mother was very ill. He felt very dejected and wanted to be by his mother's side, but he could not leave without Baba's permission to return home. The omniscient Baba, knowing the future, said to him, "If you so loved your mother, why did you take sannyas? Attachment makes misuse of an ochre garb. Go and sit quiet at your lodging. Wait with patience for a few days. In the Vada, there are many robbers. Bolt your doors and be very vigilant. The thieves will carry everything. Wealth and prosperity are transient, and the body is subject to decay and death. While knowing this, do your duty, leaving all attachment with the things of this world and next. He who does this and surrenders himself to the feet of Hari will get free from all troubles and attain bliss. The Lord runs and helps him who remembers and meditates on him with love and affection. Your store of past merits is considerable, so you have come here. Now attend to what I say and realize the goal of your life. Begin from tomorrow the study of Bhagavat. Do 3 saptas, that is 3 readings during the 3 weeks, conscientiously. The Lord will be pleased with you and will destroy your sorrows, your illusions will vanish, and you will get eternal peace." On seeing that his end was approaching, Baba prescribed his remedy and made him read Ramavijaya, which pleases the God of death. Next morning, after bathing and other purifying rites, Vijayanand commenced to read Bhagavat at a secluded spot in the Lendi garden. He completed 2 readings and thereafter felt much exhausted. He returned to the Vada and stayed in his lodging for 2 days, and on the 3rd day he breathed his last on Fakir Baba's lap. Baba asked the people to preserve the body for a day for a reason. The police afterwards came and, on making proper inquiries, gave permission for the disposal of the body. It was buried in a proper place with due rites. In this way, Baba helped the sannyasi and ensured him sadgati. Balaram Mankar. There was a householder devotee of Baba by named Balaram Mankar. When his wife passed away, he got dejected and, entrusting his household to his son, left home and came to Shirdi and lived with Baba. Being pleased with his devotion, Baba wanted to give him a good turn to his life, and he did it in this way. He gave him 12 rupees and asked him to go and live in Machindragad in district Satara. Mankar was first unwilling to go and stay away from Baba, but Baba convinced him that he was giving the best course for him and asked him to practice meditation 3 times a day in the Gad. On believing in Baba's words, Mankar went to the Gad. He was much pleased with the serenity, pure water, healthy air and the surroundings of the place, and began to practice the meditations as recommended by Baba. After some days he got a revelation. Generally bhaktas get revelation in their samadhi or trance states, but in Mankar's case, he got it when he came down to his ordinary consciousness from his trance. Baba appeared to him in person. Not only did Mankar see him, but he also asked him why he was sent there. Baba replied, "In Shirdi many thoughts and ideas began to rise in your mind, and I sent you here to bring your unsteady mind to rest. You thought that I was in Shirdi with a body composed of the 5 elements and 3.5 cubits in length. Now you see and decide for yourself whether the person you see here now is the same you saw at Shirdi. It is for this reason that I sent you here. Then after the period was over, Mankar left the guard and proceeded to his native place in Bandra. He wanted to travel by rail from Pune to Dadar. But when he went to the booking office to get a ticket, he found it very much crowded. He could not get his ticket soon when a villager with a langoti on his waist and kambli on his shoulder turned up and said, "Where are you going?" "To Dadar," replied Mankar. Then he said, "Please take this Dadar ticket of mine. As I have some urgent work here, I have cancelled my Dadar trip." Mankar was very glad to receive the ticket and was taking out money from his pocket when the rustic disappeared in the crowd. Mankar tried to find him out in the crowd, but in vain. He waited for him till the train left the station, but found no trace of him. This was the second revelation Mankar got in a strange form. Then Mankar, after visiting his home, again returned to Shirdi and remained there at Baba's feet, following his bidding and advice. In the end, he was very fortunate to leave the world in the presence of Baba. Tatya Sahib Nolkar. Hemant Pant gives no particulars regarding Tatya Sahib Nolkar, except the bare mention of the fact that he gave up his ghost in Shirdi. A brief summary of his account that appeared in the Sai Leela magazine is given here. Tatya Sahib was a sub-judge at Pandharpur in 1909, when Nana Sahib Chandorkar was Mamlatdar there. Both met often and exchanged words. Tatya Sahib did not believe in saints, while Nana Sahib respected them. Nana Sahib often told him the leelas of Sai Baba and pressed him to go to Shirdi and see Baba. Nolkar finally agreed to go to Shirdi on two conditions. He must get a Brahmin cook and he must get good Nagpur oranges for the presentation. Both these conditions were providentially fulfilled. A Brahmin came to Nana Sahib for service and he was sent to Tatya Sahib, and a fruit parcel containing 100 beautiful oranges were received by Tatya Sahib, the consigner being unknown. As the conditions were fulfilled, Tatya Sahib had to go to Shirdi. At first, Baba was much enraged with him. But, by and by, Tatya Sahib got such experiences that he was convinced that Baba was God incarnate. So he was enamored of Baba and stayed there till his death. As his end was approaching, sacred literature was read out to him. And at the last hour, Baba's Pada Tirth was brought and given to him for drinking. Baba, on hearing of his death, said, "Oh, Tatya went ahead of us. He won't be reborn." Megha. The story of Megha has been already described in chapter 28. When Megha died, all the villagers followed the funeral procession. Baba also accompanied them and showered flowers on Megha's body. After the rites were performed, tears flowed from Baba's eyes, and like an ordinary mortal, Baba showed himself overcome with grief and sorrow. Then, covering the body with flowers and crying like a near relative, Baba returned to the masjid. Many saints have been seen giving sadgati to men, but Baba's greatness is unique. Even an animal like tiger came to Baba's feet for being delivered from demerits. It is this story which will be narrated now. Tiger. 7 days before Baba passed away, a wonderful incident occurred at Shirdi. There came a country cart and stopped in front of the masjid. A tiger was on the cart, fastened with iron chains, with its agonized face turned to the rear. It was suffering from some painful malady. Its keepers had been taking it from place to place and making money by exhibiting it. It was their means of sustenance. They tried all sorts of remedies to cure it from the malady it was suffering from, but all in vain. Then they heard of Baba's fame and came to him with the animal. They got it down with chains in their hands and made it stand at the door. It was naturally fierce, besides disease-ridden. So it was restless. The people began to look at it with fright and amazement. The keepers told Baba everything about the animal, and with his consent brought it before him. As it approached the steps, it retreated on account of the awe of Baba and hung its head down. When both Baba and the tiger saw each other, the tiger got onto the step and looked at Baba with affection. Immediately it moved the tuft of its tail and dashed it thrice against the ground and then fell down senseless. On seeing it dead, the keepers were much dejected and full of sorrow. But in proper thought, they came to terms with it. They considered that as the animal was diseased and nearing its end, it was meritorious on its part that it met its death at the feet of Baba. It was their debtor, and when the debt was paid off, it was free and met its end at Sai's feet. When any creatures bow down their heads at saints' feet and meet death, they are liberated. Unless they have got a good store of merit on their account, how could they have got such a meritorious end? Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 32. In Quest of Guru and God. Fasting Disapproved. In this chapter, Hemad Pant describes two things: how Baba met his guru in the woods and through him God, and how Baba made Mrs. Gokhale, who had made up her mind to fast for 3 days, eat Puran Polis. Preliminary. In the beginning, Hemad Pant describes the sansar, or the visible world, by the allegory of Ashwatthama tree, which has, in the phraseology of the Gita, roots above and branches below. Its branches are spread downward and upwards and are nourished by the gunas, and its sprouts are the objects of the senses. Its roots leading to actions are extended downwards to this world of men. Its form cannot be known in this world, nor its end, its beginning, nor its spot. After cutting this Ashwatthama tree of strong roots with the sharp weapon of non-attachment, one should seek the path beyond treading, from where there is no return. For traversing this path, the help of a good guide or guru is absolutely necessary. However learned a man may be, or however deep his study of Veda and Vedant may be, he cannot reach his destination safely. If the guide be there to help him and show him the right way, he would avoid the pitfalls and the wild beasts on the journey move aside. Baba's experiences in this matter through the story which he gave out himself is really wonderful, which, when attended to, will give you faith, devotion and salvation. The quest. Once, four of us were studying religious scriptures and other books, and being thus enlightened, we began to discuss the nature of Brahma. One of us said, we should raise the self with self-efforts and not depend on others. To this, the second replied that he who controls his mind is blessed. We should be free from thoughts and ideas, and there is nothing in this world without us. The third said that the world is always changing. The formless is eternal, so we should discriminate between the unreal and the real. And the fourth, which was Baba himself, urged that bookish knowledge alone is worthless. He added, let us do a prescribed duty and surrender our body, mind and 5 pranas to the Guru's feet. Guru is God, all-pervading. To get this conviction, strong, unabounded faith is necessary. While discussing in this way, we 4 learned men began to ramble through the woods in the quest for God. The 3 wanted to make the quest with their free and unaided intellect. On the way, a Vanjari, a man who trades in certain things such as grain by carrying them on bullock, met us and asked, it is hot now. Where and how far are you going? We replied, in the woods. He inquired, on what quest are you bound? We gave him an ambiguous and evasive reply. On seeing us rambling aimlessly, he was moved and said, "Without knowing the woods fully, you should not wander at random. If you want to walk through forests and jungles, you should take a guide with you. Why do you exert yourselves unnecessarily during this hot noon sun? You may not give out to me your secret of the quest. Still, you can sit down, eat bread, drink water, take rest, and then go. Be always patient at heart." Though he spoke so tenderly, we discarded his request and marched on. We thought that we were self-contained men and needed nobody's help. The woods were vast and trackless. The trees therein grew so close and tall that the sun's rays could not penetrate through them. So we lost our way and wandered here and there for a very long time. Ultimately, through sheer good luck, we came back to the place from where we started. The Vanjari met us again and said, "By relying on your own cleverness, you missed your way. A guide is always necessary to show the right way in small or great matters. And no quest can be successfully carried out on an empty stomach. Unless God wills it, no one meets us on the way. Do not discard offers of food. Served dish should not be thrust away. Offers of food should be regarded as auspicious signs of success." On saying this, he again offered us food and asked us to be calm and patient. Again, my companions did not like this unsolicited hospitality and discarded his offer. Without doing any quest and without taking any food, the three began to move out. So obstinate were they. I was hungry and thirsty, and I was moved by the Vanjari's extraordinary love. We thought ourselves very learned, but were strangers to kindness. The Vanjari was quite illiterate and unqualified fellow and belonged to a low caste. Still, he had love in his heart and asked us to eat the bread. In this way, he who loves others disinterestedly is really enlightened. And I thought, acceptance of his hospitality was the best beginning of getting knowledge. So very respectfully, I accepted the loaf of bread, ate it, and drank water. Then lo, the Guru came and stood before us. "What was the dispute about?" he asked. And I told him everything that had happened. Then he said, "Would you like to come with me? I will show you what you want. But he alone who believes in what I say will be successful." The others did not agree to what he said and left him. But I bowed to him reverently and accepted his dictum. Then he took me to a well, tied my feet with a rope, and hung me, head downwards and feet up, from a tree near the well. I was suspended 3 feet above the water, which I could not reach with my hands or with my mouth. After suspending me in this manner, he went away, no one knew where. After 10 or 12 ghatakas, which is about 4 or 5 hours, he returned and, after taking me out, quickly asked me how I fared. In bliss supreme I was. "How can a fool like me describe the joy I experienced?" I replied. On hearing my answer, the Guru was much pleased with me, drew me near him, and stroking my head with his hand, kept me with him. He took care of me as tenderly as a mother bird does of her young ones. He put me into his school. How beautiful it was! There I forgot my parents. All my attachments were snapped, and I was liberated easily. I thought I should embrace him and keep staring at him always. If his image was not fixed in my eyes, I would better be blind. Such was the school. No one who entered it once could return empty-handed. My guru became my all in all, my home, mother, father, everything. All my senses left their places and concentrated themselves in my eyes, and my sight was centered on him. Thus, my guru was the sole object of my meditation, and I was conscious of no one else. While meditating on him, my mind and intellect were silent, and I had thus to keep quiet and bow to him in silence.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sidearm, dear listeners, we now bring you an episode of Tryst with Divinity, a series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan. In this episode, you're going to listen to the second part of a conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy. Mr. V.S.R. Murthy is known for his brilliant eloquence, especially in Telugu, having delivered hundreds of talks all over India and abroad. He is also a regular guest speaker in TV channels and All India Radio, expounding on science and spirituality. Also, he is an academic council member of the Institute of Scientific Research on the Vedas, established in 2005 in Hyderabad. He has authored 12 books on Indian spirituality, deliberating on the philosophy of Sri Adi Shankara to our Lord Bhagwan Baba. Above all this, he has been a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, having come to his feet way back in 1962. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti, and this was recorded on July 13, 2013, a few days prior to Guru Purnima celebrations in Prashanthinilam, and hence, one of the themes of this conversation is Bhagwan as the Sadguru. Over now to Mr. V.S.R. Murthy and Bishu.
You mentioned that, you know, the journey for every person perhaps will reach one really prominent milestone when you see the Sadguru within. And I think that is what was the thing that Bhagwan was trying to instill in all of us all these years.
Agreed.
And if you can share about, you know, how you think this process...
Sadguru guided from within?
Yes.
It's a good question.
How people can, you know, reach there, you know?
Very good question.
Because that is something which a lot of people are trying to do now. In the absence of the physical form, we are constantly trying to connect with Swami within. We are trying to feel Him within. So if you can share your insights.
Yes, yes. Again, I come back to the first principle of not praying for the self. Remove that word first. That sentence should never be there. Think that Swami is already instilled in our heart. He is there. He is guiding you from within. He is telling you. He is warning you. He is also provoking you to indulge in some good activities. Do them first without questioning. Have that implicit faith that it is not you who is doing. It is not you who is talking. It is not you who is writing. It is He making you write. Like in Keno Upanishad, all Indriyas, they work at the behest of Atma. That is the Keno Upanishad. Mm-hmm. Indriyam on its own, it cannot function. So the vibrations come from where? From the source. Like your watch. How does it move? Because there is a battery. If battery stops, everything stops. So you are receiving these vibrations from the Atma. For this also, I would like to just deviate for a second. Swami said, from the world and the divine, vibrations will come. From Swami, they are not vibrations, they are emanations.
Mm.
Vibration means it is an item, it is a physical level, it is vibration. Emanation is from the source, or the real source. Mm. So Swami is beyond the divinity. I always say, Swami is not mere God. We say Satya Sai Baba is God. It is a writing on the wall. Or a statement. But according to me, Swami is a phenomenon. It is beyond. God has limitations. Phenomenon is unlimited. So if you have that much faith in your heart, all your deeds will become pious. There is no special sadhana required. Did Swami prescribe meditation to 100 people? Why He did not make a group of meditators? Because meditation is nothing but contemplation and concentration, not on the world, but on the Paramatma. That Paramatma is within. That is how Swami is the Sadguru. maximum he would have made 20,000 meditators. How does it matter to the world? But each one becomes a meditator when his contemplation on Swami and his avatarhood, then we become a part of the whole situation. So the Sadguru aspect always guides you. It teaches you, it warns you, it preaches you.
Swami, as a Sadguru, he did not come for a few people who are seriously in the spiritual path or spiritual seekers. He came for the masses. He came for everyone.
For everyone.
And that's why the things that he asked us to do also were very profound, at the same time very simple.
Very simple. And also my inference in this context is, why very great people, the so-called great people, also came to Prasanthilayam? They are already great. World recognized them. There is nothing to gain for them. Why they came? My understanding is, they come here for fine-tuning. The ultimate tuning. The tuning is becoming a yogi in this life itself. Ihameva, now and here. That is why I always see Swami as Sadguru. And also one declaration we have to remember always. This avatar has come here to bestow the worldly comforts and also the spiritual comfort. I hold two laddus in my hand. Iham is one laddu, Param is the other laddu. For Param some people come, for Iham some people come, but be together. Don't say he has come for Iham, he is inferior. I have come for Param, I am superior. No, for me you are all one. We are all together. That is unity, that what Swami taught. So these things, when I just memorize within myself, inadvertently too, in all the states, that is Jagrat, Nidra, Sushupti, Swami is indeed a Sadguru from within, and he guides you. He warns you, he preaches you, he imparts the required knowledge to understand your own self. It is not mere enough if we understand the whole world without understanding ourselves. We have to understand ourselves first. The understanding is, we are not the body. We are not body alone. We are much beyond. Yes. If you can go to that level, perhaps things become easier.
Yes.
That is where Swami played a very, very significant and very effective role as far as I am concerned.
Yes, interesting. And that's what our discussion started also with, that. You know, the first thing that you mentioned about the qualities of a guru, as Bhagavan
body consciousness,
beyond body consciousness.
Beyond desires. And so renunciation.
Exactly.
We speak here. Who spoke? The speakers on both sides is nothing but Swami. We have nothing to claim. We close this program and go away as Mr. Bishu and V.S.R. Murthy. We are emptied. Empty the thing, you are lighter. When you are lighter, you go higher. When you think that you have performed very well, and when somebody thinks that, oh, the fantastic has come out, a tribute to Bhagavan and be happy.
Yes.
This is beyond doership. We must get rid of that feeling, that what Swami taught me also. Third, one most important. The world is full of contradictions and paradoxes. Definitely. Don't think of it too much. The world is like that. You cannot reform. You cannot refine. You can't redefine. You have come here to undergo all this. Reform yourself. Redefine yourself. And don't try to say, I'm reshaping the world. You cannot. That's not your job. Get reshaped yourself. If that consistent, continuous awareness is there, I think the conscious levels will start operating. That what Swami said. In that context also Swami said, after all, it is faith that matters. If you pray to a stone under a tree, it is granting all the boons.
Exactly.
Then do you come here, a life form, to seek some worldly pleasures? Don't ask for trivial and trash. Ask for me, I am yours.
Fantastic. The last few things that you mentioned on the characteristics of Sadguru, I think each one of us can relate to it. And it comes down to knowing and living in that consciousness that we are not the doer. I think the more and more you feel that anything that is happening, everything that I'm experiencing, he is in some way the one who is making it happen, and it is for my good. And I think once you have that feeling, then, as you mentioned, you know, you always remain in that state of equipoise.
Equipoise.
And I think, as you mentioned, different people come here. They come here because, as Swami said, there are two things that is not there in the world. Peace, shanti.
Yes, shanti.
Shanti and bliss. Peace and bliss. That is something you can get only at the feet of the Guru that no material thing can ever give you. And that is the eternal quest of man, and which can be obtained only at the feet of the Sadguru. And that is the journey that each one of us are making and will continue to make until we realize that. Until we reach Prashantinilayam.
Prashantinilayam. Here, the Prashantinilayam, when you mentioned, I have to connect myself to you now. I always love one shlokam about a guru.
Mm-hmm.
Brahmanandam Paramasukhadam.
Yes.
Kevalam Jnanamurtim. Yes. Dvandvatitam, Trigunarahitam, Tattvamasyadilakshyam, Ekam, Vimalam, Achalam, Sarvadhi Sakshibhutam. So, all these qualities I could relate with Bhagavan. He said, if you want peace, as you said, Brahmanandam, come to me, I'll give you, I grant you. Only thing is, you have to have that receptivity level. You must have a very serious urge, then I can grant you. Paramasukhadam, what is that Paramasukhadam beyond the senses? A sleep, a hunger, the worldly desires, they can be however fulfilled, somehow or other. But Paramacharamasukhadam, the ultimate happiness, the bliss or ecstasy, whatever you call, these are all stages. Pleasure, joy, bliss, ecstasy, these are all. Then what is there beyond is Paramasukhadam. I don't want anything, I am you. If we can reach that level, I think we can understand Swami in its full measure. Otherwise, no. Dvandvatitam. As long as you think that Swami is different from you, you remain a seeker.
Dvanda is a dual.
Get over that. You transcend that level. Dvandvatitam. He is already Dvandvatitam. He is in the same world as we are anchored. He is also here. He is among us. But he's beyond. How he's able to do that?
Well, I remember one occasion when Bhagavan was asking boys, who am I?
Wow.
So different boys who start giving so many answers. Swami, you are Shiva Shakti Swarupa. Swami, you are Narayana. Hmm. Swami, you are Bhagavan and all that. And Swami didn't seem to be happy with any of the answers. And finally he just said, I am I.
In Telugu he said, Nenu, Nenaina, Nenu. In all the three stages, that I remain. The rest, they all belong to this body. Because it has to move, it moves. Because it has to do, it does. Because it has to eat, it eats. It eats. I doesn't eat. It is only a sakshi.
I is only a sakshi.
Witness to what is happening. It is watching the body. Kevalam jnanamurtim. That kevala jnana is absolute truth. Jnani, you see, intellectual interpretation of shastras doesn't make one person a jnani. There is only a vijnani.
Exactly.
He becomes only a vijnani. He is knowledgeable.
And just like the outside world, you have scientists.
Yeah. So outside world. Yeah.
You'll have scientists who have done exactly the same thing, but perhaps in laboratories and with the research papers.
Papers.
They are only just vijnanis.
They can analyze padartha. Not only that, a person who indulges in giving extempore lectures, he is not a jnani. He is only a vijnani. He has a skill to communicate. He has a knowledge. He has an authority over subjects. Has he authority over himself? Is the question. If he has an authority over himself, call him jnani. That's why intellectual interpretation is not jnana. What jnana is all pervading, all knowing, but remaining all the time neutral. That takes you to the state of jnani, then you become jnani.
Otherwise, I think you are only an intellectual gymnast,
that's
as they say.
Nothing beyond. That's why you become gagana sadrishyam. You become like a sky. When you look up and see the sky, it is full of clouds, stars, sun, moon, galaxy, so many things are there. Or sometimes rainbows. Do they exist? Is the sky holding them? No. It is only a screen on which these are displayed. The moment the rainbow disappears, only screen remains. Like the projector is stopped, film is stopped.
Yes.
So the actors, the participants, the performers are weeping, they are laughing, they are crying, they are running, they are rolling, but which is remaining neutral is nothing but the screen. So you are that. The moment everything is withdrawn, that is what you are. Nothing is touched upon.
That is what is your true self.
True self.
That's why it says Brahmam Satya
Jagannitya. That's why Swami said, of course Swami spoke in Telugu, that's why I can explain. Padmapatram Ivambhasa, on the lotus leaf, if you remain like a droplet,
yes,
unattached, that is the best thing. That Yogeshwara Krishna said.
Yes.
Swami said, Tamarakumida neeti bottu, Tamalapakumida neeti bottu, palm leaf, beetle leaf. If there is a small droplet on the beetle leaf, what we'll do? It becomes mellowed, soft. Then we chew more and more as we use palm, isn't it?
Yes.
So this lotus leaf, we use it for taking some food and then we throw it off. So also you treat your body as nothing but a plate where the palate is served. Afterwards, what you will do? You will roll and throw into the dustbin. Have that consciousness that body has got only the limitation. The unlimited is within. Like the diamond necklace is in locker. But you know what metal the locker is made out? It is iron.
Iron. Yes.
The body-soul relation. Gagana Sadrisham. Tattvamasi Adi Lakshyam. Tattvamasi. Swami always said, you become the self.
Mm.
You strive hard to understand. Pass through this world. Experience the good and bad, but with equanimity, equipoise, and equilibrium. Those three beautiful words, how Swami brought them together.
But that is something, you know, even as you deliberate on this, that is something which we will find very difficult to perhaps experience that in our life. How do you, I mean, there are so many things you have expected this thing to happen, a lot of things happening, you know, you have slogged for example, someone is going to the office and for 6 months he is slogged for this particular project and he has submitted everything and it just gets rejected. How can you just say that, don't be affected with it?
Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phalesu kadachana. Do the duty. You perform. Let somebody decide. Always somebody decide. We study for 364 days. We write the examination. Are you correcting your paper and putting 90% marks? There is some unknown person who is correcting your paper. He knows how much is to be given. That's why karturajnaya prapyate phalam karma kimparam karma tajjadam. All these actions are inert. They are lifeless. But they are done through a conscious person. Conscious person who doesn't claim any doership, indulge in all activities with no attachment. Expecting something, some result, some profit out of anything is nothing but a shade of ego. Unless the ego is killed, the guru cannot come to you.
So you are saying if you have done everything with an expectation, then it is because you have ego.
You have ego. Ego. I wrote very well. Why I got only 60 marks, somebody says. Because you have written, to the extent you can get 60 marks, somebody granted you. Your expectations, your evaluation, self-evaluation, your understanding of things, they don't really matter. Somebody has to judge you. If you always think there is somebody judging us, we'll be more cautious. Who is that judge? Is none other than the God. Where is that God? He is within. In what form? As Sadguru. Simple. He tells you. He always tells you, don't expect so much. You performed your duty, you go. Then whatever comes, you accept. See, Swami, very beautifully he used so many English words when giving some instruction or some suggestion. Never compromise in life. Never compromise. It is disgusting. Never compromise to any situation. But Bangaru always adjust to any situation. Adjustment is life. Compromising is death. Even if you are alive after compromising, you are equal to dead. When you start adjusting to any situation that comes your way, I think you are living very well. How beautiful it is.
You should be able to adapt to any situation.
Then again, adapt. Three words Swami gave. Once again, adapt. Do skillfully. Skill is relative. Your skill is different from my skill. But both of us have to contribute to the world. What you have to do with the skill you should do. Karma Sukhavushalam. Again, Bhagavad Gita. So, Swami's teachings are from the scriptures, from the source. Though they appear to be very simple to understand, they are very difficult to practice at the same time. But for that matter, any practice is difficult. Practice itself is difficult. But unless you start practicing...
Yes, but there is no shortcut.
No shortcut.
No shortcut to practice.
That's why I always believe in one more dictum. Faith deepens practice. Practice accelerates faith. These two are inseparable. Faith and practice, they should go together, always.
Faith deepens practice.
It deepens practice.
And once you practice, that accelerates.
That accelerates faith.
Both supplement each other.
Both supplementary to each other and complementary to each other. Yeah.
Yes, fantastic.
That is why Swami is Sadguru. These are the things that are not told by anybody. They are told directly by the phenomenon called Bhagavan Sri Sat Sai.
You mentioned that, you know, you always try to keep in mind, Bhagavan mentioned it right when you were a little child or 12 years old, that you always remain equipoised. But how do you actually make it happen in practical life? Suppose just now, like we finish the interview and you hear of a news that really is very disappointing. How will you take it? I think you too, I mean, it's not as if you don't face ups and downs of life.
No, we pass it through patches of rough weather, like anybody. That is inevitable. That is where Sadguru plays an important role. I pass through patches of rough weather. We receive brickbats. We receive bouquets. Some people indulge in mudslinging, but doesn't matter. Tread your path. Because Sadguru is in you. He knows whether you are doing wrong or right. He will decide. But because somebody criticized you, somebody did not acknowledge your skills, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean much. You continue to do things that are designated. You have to perform.
You have to be true to yourself.
True to ourselves and always attribute
and
to
have Bhagavan. Faith in that inner self.
In that inner self. That inner self will take you. Today morning, for instance, I got one message that somebody passed away. Somebody passed away. That is a message. Then I know the person who passed away very intimately. And the person is not there this morning around 3 o'clock. So what I should say, I'm going back to Hyderabad. I can't see that body again. So please excuse me. I can't be a part of the celebrations. I'm going. Then when I was in Mandir, I received that SMS. I just looked at it. I kept quiet. Let there be no sign of grief. Let there be no sign of hesitation. Let there be no sign of commotion within. If you have a commotion inside, and exhibit external calmness, it is self-defeat. What is that I can do now, is the question. I have no role to play. The person has come and gone. His journey is over. Where she or he has gone, he has come back to Bhagavan. This is equipoise. And it is a live example. When we are talking, this is the situation. It is the situation. I am not worried, because worry doesn't mean much.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help at all. And whatever role you have to play, if it is at an appointed hour, you go and do that duty. If you are not to be there, you are not there.
And if you have to play any role, if you have to be there for anything,
you go.
Go and do your duty.
Go and do it. And that too, there is a priority, like father, mother, brother, kin, sibling, friend, a distant friend, a known person.
Yes.
Like this, you know, there are so many levels at which we have to tune our mind and act accordingly. This can come only by practice. Again, how practice comes? Unless you have a situation like this.
Yes.
Face them, bear them, wear them, and be happy. Be comfortable or be neutral. Be still, finally.
All your studies, Swami used to say, is only for that steadiness.
Steadiness. Correct.
And in fact, that is what I have seen. Although so many students who have passed out of Bhagavan's university. That is one quality that their peers and their colleagues in office that they see in these students. It's the amount of patience that they see and the way they are able to deal with other colleagues, especially the aspect of man management. They are all the time able to see that the Sai students are able to very easily gel with others. They are able to adjust with others. They are able to take anything without getting really so much depressed.
And on their stride.
Yeah, everything you take on your stride.
That's right.
Because you always feel that, you know, there is someone else. If it's happening, it is happening for
good. Swami said, insurance you have to pay premium. For assurance, no premium is required.
Fantastic. Without premiums, you
premium,
get assurance.
You get assurance.
You can only encash it.
Encash it. For insurance, you have to pay.
Yes. You have to become poor.
And finally, you are not the beneficiary. You are not the somebody else will be
beneficiary.
For assurance, you are the direct beneficiary.
Yeah. Fantastic. And sure, he's the best insurance you can have.
Yeah, sure.
God. Fantastic. You are explaining that shloka. Sir.
Yeah, that gagana sadrisham tattvamasya adilaksham. We have to become that. Swami said, the Advents before Swami, they taught us how to become God. But this avatar or this phenomenon said, becoming God, what is that? You are already God. Know
already
that.
God. Yes. Fantastic.
Just know that. Devo bhutva devam yajet. If you want to become God, you have to be like God. And you can never be like God. You are already God.
Already
it's
God.
A beautiful
amazing
thing that Swami
only
mentioned.
Only Sadguru can,
only Sadguru can tell. And you are that. Tvameva hamna samseha. Between you and me, there is no difference, Bangaru.
I mean, that is so powerful. And whenever, I think there have been occasions when journalists and all, they have asked Swami, are you God? And he has told, yes, I am God, but
you are also God.
God.
Know that.
Yes,
I know that I am God.
Yeah.
You, if you know, you are also God. Then ekam. We come alone,
yes,
into the world.
Yes.
When we leave, we go alone. In between is only the drama enacted. So many participants, so many contacts, so many acquaintances, so many relations. What is happening to all those? The moment you close your eyes, that's why you are ekam. Even your body will go. You have to cast away here. But ekam, which is within, is never changing. It is nityam, it is eternal. It is vimalam, it is pure. It is achalam. It doesn't move, but it will be the cause for every moment.
Fantastic. It doesn't move, but it is
it
the
is
cause.
It is a cause for every moment.
Everything that
is
moves.
You.
To know that.
Mm.
And that's what Ramana Maharshi also used to
exactly
always say that.
Yeah.
You
know? Sure.
Just think of who are you, who am I?
Who am I? Hrudaya kuhara majhe kevalam brahma matram. Yaham ahamiti sakshat atmarupena bhati. Bhati means prakasha. That is illumination. That is telling you, I am, I am, I am. It is saying that atma is saying. But we say, I am the body. It's just nothing but illusion. So from illusion, we have to travel to illumination.
Fantastic. And Bhagavan used to always say that how actually this thing gets asserted every day in our life, in our breath.
Breath.
That soham. Swami said, I am that, I am that. It's constantly there.
Yeah.
You just have to listen to it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, move on, sir, in the sloka.
Yeah. Then, sarvadhi sakshi bhutam. Dhi means intellect. The intellect is propelled by the senses. When you see a good thing, when you see a bad thing, when you see very beautiful thing, when you see an ugly thing, it's all guided by something else. So, dhi is nothing but intellect. That's why we call it dhi shakti.
Yes, dhi shakti.
Dhi is intellect. When you are that, you try to analyze, assimilate, dissect, describe, demonstrate. So many things are there. You indulge in all these activities. Finally, you know, I wonder how it is made. You can also explain, a scientist can explain how it is made, but nobody can explain why it is made.
Exactly.
Swami also said, the entire medical sciences tell you how the child is born and different stages of formation.
Yes.
But can one principle be spoken of is why it is made.
Yes.
How it is made is science.
Yes.
How it is made is science. Why it is made is spiritual. So unless you know how, you cannot reach why.
Like as they say, there are things that are known, there are things that are unknown, and there are things that are unknowable.
Unknowable. And according to the evaluation of the whole universe and creation, what we see as world is, the manifest portion is only 2.5%. 97.5% is still unmanifest. Only 2.5 were aghast, seeing so many variety of things. And we say God is great. And what about 97.5? When it will become manifest, we don't know. That is why Swami
it's
said
so mind-boggling.
Only 2.5%. We see rivers, we see oceans, we see countries, we see sects, we see people, We see 84 lakh variety of species always existing on this planet Earth, sometimes complementary, sometimes contradictory, sometimes self-destructive, sometimes evolution, sometimes it is a revolution. So many contradictions are there, and whatever you call, finally it is only 2.5%. Maybe that 97.5% we call it God. Because we have not seen.
Yes.
Then bhavatitam, he has no bhavam. He has no bhavam because he has no bahyam also. Because he will not externalize things. A guru, sadguru, externalizing thing. Now we are speaking. We are deliberating on some points. Who is the cause? Again, that Parabrahman, he is the cause. And effect is something has come out. We have nothing to do with. When somebody is the cause, we have no ownership on the outcome. You are only a medium. Think that you are a medium, then when bahyam is reduced, bhavam will come out. Bhavam means sadbhavam. Swami always said, bhavam means in relation to God, in relation to Atma, any thought, any deliberation in relation to spirit is called bhava, not your thought. That has got a word called alochana in Telugu. In English, it is called the thought.
Sacred.
Sacred. It's pure, pristine.
Sacred feeling.
Very clear. A sacred feeling. A positive feeling, positive outlook.
Perhaps we cannot find exact word.
That is bhavam.
Yes.
Bhavam emanates from the heart. Thought emanates from the mind. That's all. You are not the mind alone. You are the heart. That's why always Swami said, heart is more important. Heart is more, because it is empty and it is full. That's why the Guru, Sadguru resides in your heart. Swami said, no, why so many buildings, so many mandirs? Don't do that. Convert your heart into Sai Mandir, Swami said. Because he is indweller. He stays there. And, Triguna Rahitam. Sattva Rajas Tamogunas.
Beyond.
That's why we call it Kalatrayatitaha, Gunatrayatitaha, Avastatrayatitaha. We always say that.
Yes.
So, he is beyond. He doesn't possess, but he is cause for all the three gunas.
In fact, in one definition of Guru that Bhagavan has given, he has made it very clear. Gu and Ru. Gu as Gunatita and Ru as Rupavarjita.
Rupavarjita, yes. Gunatita, Runatita. So, he has no attributes, he has no forms, he has no names. He doesn't bear one name. All names are his.
Everything is just a symbol.
A symbol.
That's
all.
Consciousness.
That's what Swami said. Yeah.
Fantastic. That is what is Triguna Rahitam.
Triguna Rahitam. Then Sadgurum Tam Namami.
Yes.
If I really find such a Sadguru, my salutations to him. Vishuji, I can tell you, I found that Sadguru. He is none other than our beloved Bhagavan. And my salutations to him today. It's a wonderful opportunity for me. Then we'll proceed further.
Wonderful, sir. No, thank you very much. I think this shloka that you explained, we can actually perhaps take only one aspect of the shloka and go on deliberating for hours. Because that much of experience that Bhagavan has given. As they say, there is our spiritual evolution. If you achieve, say, 100 steps... And to achieve that 100 steps, if it takes you 10 janmas, when the avatar comes, when God comes down in a human form, the whole thing gets actually telescoped. It gets accelerated. What you would have possibly done in 10 janmas when trying to get over all these weaknesses, they just happen. Perhaps all get compressed in one janma, in one instant.
It happens in a trice.
In a trice.
That's all.
And that is the power of
Sadguru.
Of the Sadguru.
Sadguru.
And I think that's what you see. And many times, there are occasions when, you know, you're sitting for darshan. I have interacted with so many people like this, you know. They have just come and they have sat in the darshan. Swami has not spoken to them. Swami has not even seen them. Swami, they have had no interaction with Swami. You can hardly imagine if they have had any sort of connection with Swami or, you know, if anything personally has happened with them, with Bhagwan. But they say something has happened. They just sit there and they constantly start crying. Something begins inside. It's a whole process that begins inside.
Inside.
And I can only think that only a Sadguru can do that.
You know, he can internalize everything.
He can just, by that
presence,
he can make wonders happen.
So incidentally, when I deliver these public lectures, I never quote even one miracle of Swami. I never, so far I never quoted.
only adhyatmikam.
Only spiritual, the very essence, one. I never quote my personal relation or equation with Swami. Never. My personal interactions, I never speak in public, fundamentally. Why I should do that? People ask me, kindly tell us one miracle at least. I always tell one miracle. The miracle is, as you right now said, 30,000-40,000 people will be there, devotees will be there, and Swami will be sitting with no apparent connection with anybody there. But immediately after Harati, when Swami retires and we start coming out of the gate, everybody says one thing: Swami has looked at me.
Yeah.
Swami just looked at me, straight away he looked at me. And each one says,
yes,
unless it is a 360 degrees complete, that cannot happen. According to me, Sadguru is that. A Diksha Guru will look into the eyes and give you mantram. Suchaka Guru will guide you. You go this way, it will be safe. Mochaka Guru will say how many ways are there to attain that moksha. Nishiddha Guru will say what we should not do in the world. But these are all very, very, I call them, fundamental levels. The Karana Guru is the ultimate, he is Sadguru. Karana, why we have come here? Kala, Karya, Karana, Kartavya, that what Swami says. The eternal Atma, it's beyond time and space, you are that, Swami said. That's why he is Sadguru. Karya, you have something to do in this world, that's why you have taken the birth. In fact, I still remember Swami saying, God becomes an avatar. People say that. It is only a half-truth, Swami said. God doesn't take any avatar. Humans take avatars associated with the phenomenon, ultimate. The ultimate doesn't take any avatar. So, in that context...
If you can explain this.
I can. We say Kali Yuga ke avatar, there is some bhajan. We say Swami is avatar of the age. Like that, so many books come. But Swami said, I am not an avatar. Who said I am an avatar? You are only saying, I am not an avatar, but I come here to see so many avatars come together. I am the force behind. I am the source behind. I am the root cause for everything. So, you can't say, Satya Sai is an avatar and forget. No, you should not say that. Avatar will be there for Kalpanta. He has a limitation. He has to operate under some limitations. But for Satya Sai, there are no limitations. That Swami said, as if he is not that Satya Sai. That is how he explains, no?
You cannot limit him to a particular time period.
No, time. There is no time. He has come here in 1926. On November 23rd, he came. And on such and such date, he vacated. He must have vacated the body, but he is there.
So it is we who come and go.
We come and go. That's why you are all avatars. Yes. I am not avatar.
He is not that.
Because for me, there is no coming. There is no going. My state is always remaining. I think at one level we have to understand Swami's...
Fantastic. In fact, what comes to my mind is, there was one occasion when one student went to Bhagwan. He had the chance to actually serve Bhagwan at very close quarters for 3-4 years. And one day when he had the chance to be with Bhagwan in the interview room, he said, Swami, I have experienced your love in many ways. I mean, there have been times when, you know, as a mother you have taken care of me. There have been times as a father you have, you know, disciplined me. As a friend you have given me so much of affection. But I don't know which is the best relationship to have with you. As a mother, to treat you as a father, to treat you as a companion, as a best friend. What is the best relationship I can have with you?
Hmm.
And Swami said, if you want this relationship with me to last a lifetime and lifetimes together, then treat me as a guru. And be my steadfast disciple.
Exactly. That's my
feeling too. It is beyond time, as you mentioned.
Beyond space. And every minute he is there with us.
And he's eternal.
Yeah.
With us all the
with
time.
Us. And one more thing, it comes to my mind right now. One day Swami was speaking about gurus. The Loka Gurus, Shoka Gurus, Bodha Gurus, Badha Gurus,
yes.
Oh, galaxy, variety of Gurus, Swami was talking and said, Bangaru, with a lot of caution, it was sounding caution, Bangaru, all Gurus are one, comma. What is that next sentence? But all are not Gurus. Don't mistake somebody to be a Guru, but the states are there. If you can find, then he mentioned three names. One is Adi Shankara is a guru. Ramana Maharshi is a guru. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is a guru. There are levels. So they are all Gurusthaniya. They have already attained that level by virtue of their living on this planet Earth. But if I become an actor, enacting the role of Ramana Maharshi or Shankaracharya, I can't become Shankaracharya. So the moment the drama is over, you have to become the original. So all gurus are one, but all are not gurus. It's a wonderful caution. See, in this world we see people changing gurus.
Yes.
Swami said, never do that. You can't change a mother.
Yes.
The others can be mother-like. Others can be guru-like. But you have only one mother and only one guru. And you should always aspire that you should have only one birth.
Hmm.
And one birth, you must become birthless, not by salvation or liberation. It is only by transformation.
Fantastic.
Transformation.
Liberation is basically transformation.
Transformation. Then suddenly he brings out an analogy. You have a washerman. You wore clothes. They are yours. You spoiled them. That was your fault. He comes to you and picks up your rags or whatever clothes. He takes them to the riverside. He will just see how much he is to be cleansed. He will evaluate. He will apply some soap. He starts beating against a rock. Only to cleanse you. So the Sadguru within also creates so many situations where you become cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. Unless you cleanse yourself in this life, then is there a guarantee that you will get a similar life next? Nobody can assure. If some guru says, I am giving you a state of birthlessness, just to give a discount, he said.
No one can grant you that.
Udharer atman atmanam. Anybody has to salvage himself and reach the state of...
Each person has to undergo their...
Karma.
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 And you have to work through it.
Work through it. And God has provided you a life, a full life, to face life. That's why Swami, life is a game, play it.
Yes.
Huh? Follow the master, finish the game. These are all, they appear to be very simple, very, very difficult. Sometimes you will have a ticket worth 300 rupees from Hyderabad to Prashanthi Nilayam. At the same time, there is an offer, somebody offering you, sir, if you can stay back for 2 more days, the 2 lakh order will be yours. Then what we will do? 2 lakhs important or this 300 rupees ticket? Then we tear off the ticket and we don't come here. Then you are not really a sadhaka. Take that 300 rupees ticket and come here. Why 2 lakhs? You will get 2 crores.
If you have that faith.
If you have that faith. That what Swami said, once it so happened, this was in 1983. I remember that was in January.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and another friend, we both came from Hyderabad and we were sitting in the veranda. Swami came and just inquired when you have come and how long you are going to stay. I will just finish darshan, come back, you stay here. We stayed, but he didn't speak to us. He went inside, he picked up some people for interview. Talking to both of us was over. When once Swami's morning darshan is over, the friend who came with me said, we'll hire a car. There are some business inquiries. Both of us will go. Swami will, however, not come before 4:30 or 5. So we'll make good use of this time. Let us go. Then, I don't know. I said, no, I have come for Swami. I'll stay back. No, Swami will not be there. What you will do in the room? In those days, 83, there was nothing in Puttaparthi also, no?
Yes.
You can't do anything.
So you wanted to go to Bangalore?
You wanted to go to some villages around. Not Bangalore.
Mm.
Then, no, you come with me. Swami will not come. Even if he comes, he will not call today because he already spoke to us. I said, no, I have come for Swami. I'll stay back. I stuck to my point. Then he said, okay, it's okay. I will go. I will inquire. It's my business. I must go. He went. We stayed for 3 days. On the third day, that was my day of journey, our day of journey, Swami called me for interview. In fact, the person who came with me is much more senior devotee to me. And he has some proximity too with Bhagavan, which he claims, of course. Then he called me, no, you alone come, inside. He was left behind. So, we can't do anything, it was his choice and I went inside. Then Swami started speaking again, Indian spirituality, this and that. I came out after the interview was over. Just on the threshold, Swami stopped me. Before I was stepping out, "You know why I called you alone? Though you came together, I called you alone. You know why?" "I don't know, Swami." "I know. Because you came for me, Bangaru, that's why I called you. He didn't come for me, he came for business. Tell him that he should come for me, not for business. Then I will also call him. Till that time, I won't call." A beautiful lesson, no?
It just shows that where our focus should be all the time.
All the time. Other than Swami, we should not have any business in Prashantilayam. Swami, Swami and Swami. Swami-related work, Swami-related thought, Swami-related relations. From here, we have to take home the utmost bliss. Nothing beyond. Not even a grain we have to carry back from here. If you carry a grain also, it is only a padartham. But when you take
the feeling,
you take that ecstasy, you take that bliss, and it is forever.
And that is what you have to share.
Share.
As Swami says, that is that shanti you have to spread.
Share with others.
That becomes prashanti.
Yeah,
you
prashanti.
Create prashanti there.
Prashanti, yeah.
And such beautiful lessons. I think living with Bhagwan, as they say, living with God is true education. And then you have in that manner, living in God is spirituality and living for God is devotion. And we saw Swami giving these lessons of life. If you see the life of every student of Bhagwan's university, on the one hand, as we are discussing a few minutes ago, Yamina Sukhimpa Hemadarka Vidya, Paramina Sukhimpa Brahma Vidya.
Brahma Vidya.
And so same thing, here you had the university and the hostel and the college teachers trying to give you all this Hemadarka Vidya. And here was Bhagwan trying to give you these lessons, this Brahma Vidya. And the way it is together integrated in Bhagwan's university, in Bhagwan's schools. And I think that is something really phenomenal. And that is something, I think, again, is so unprecedented. I don't think in any college, anywhere, it has happened before, where at post-graduation level, at PhD level, you know, you're trying to instill scriptures, you're trying to instill the positive values of our ancient heritage into their minds.
Yeah.
And that is something absolutely phenomenal. And I feel it could only happen because of this power of the Sadguru.
And a Sadguru has got three more distinct characters that I could understand from Swami. He doesn't belittle anything, but he will let you know the limitations of that. He will never say this is inferior, this is superior. But he will tell you this has got limitations, this has got no limitations.
Yes.
And he says comparison is the worst trait in spiritual parlance.
Absolutely.
Never compare.
Absolutely.
You are unique.
Yes.
Have that self-respect. You always feel that you are wanted. You work in that direction. You must command respect. You should not demand respect. If you demand, nobody will give you. Command. Command through practices. Faith in God. Loyalty to what you are doing. You must have a passion. Any mission becomes successful once the missionary has a passion for it.
Yes.
The passion, mission and vision, these three are three levels. Swami used these words. A mission without passion is meaningless. A mission and passion without vision is redundant.
Rudderless.
Oh, rudderless. So seek all, put all together, align them properly. After all, it is an alignment. Alignment, adjustment, and move on with life. Think that God is a driver and God is the guard for a train. Two people who are not at all connected to the passengers directly. Driver is there, he is driving. Guard is there at the back. He is guarding the whole journey. And he plays two roles at one time while you sleep happily on your berth, he said.
Both ensure your safe travel.
Your safe travel.
Fantastic. And I think that is what the Sadguru does. Bhavasagara Taranam.
Taranam.
It takes us across this ocean of life.
Yeah, ocean of life.
If only we remember that he is the one who is the doer.
Yeah.
I think once you're on that journey, then ultimately you realize that the job, the doer, the action, everything is actually one.
Yes.
I mean, that is the one final state.
Drik drishya vivecha.
Yes. Fantastic. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope we can have such conversations in the future more, because there is so much that we can deliberate on Bhagwan's messages. And the more you relish them, the more you chew on them, the more you contemplate on them, the more you understand them,
yeah.
And then more determined you become to practice them. Thank you so much, sir, for being in the studios and sparing your time.
Thank you very much. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, you just heard the second part of a conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan and a brilliant orator, especially in Telugu, who has traveled widely expounding on Bhagwan's message. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti, and this was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai in Prashanthinilayam on July 13, 2013, that is a few days prior to Guru Purnima celebrations, and that is the reason why one of the themes dominating in this conversation was Bhagwan as the Sadguru. If you have any comments or suggestions, please do write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.
सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो
ध्यान करो
सोहम साई
हृदय भरो
ध्यान करो।